Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Curtain. This is Paul Listick from WGN-TV talking about today one of my favorite theaters in the Chicago area, and I couldn't think of a better, I tried to find what is the right song to open this with, and that had such energy. That song is called A Musical from Something Rotten, and of course, the Something Rotten has been the pandemic we've been living through for the last 6 months, but this theater is coming back strong, and I'm so glad I get to talk to the two key people involved. First, joining us, the artistic director of the Theo Ubuke Theater, Fred Anzavito. Fred, good to talk to you. It's been way too long, my friend.
Welcome, Paul. So nice to hear your voice again.
And Christopher Pasternak, the managing director of the Theo Ubuke Theater. Christopher, I have to start with congratulations to you. This is a new role. Your name in my mind has always been tied to Porchlight Music Theater and other events and work you've done for Howard Brown, just great stuff. And now you're part of the Theo Ubuke family. That's great.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very excited to be joining Fred and everyone else in this new position for me.
So this Theo Ubuke, which is now located in a really great space up in Evanston, you've moved and now you're in this great space. And of course, then we get hit by the pandemic. And Fred, I have to say to you, I've been trying to do this interview for a while. And because, you know, some of the theaters will come on and talk about the plans, but it took a while to get you guys on because you guys were taking your time. And I'm guessing part of that was because the experience at Theo Ubuke, it's a little bit different than other theaters because you're more of a dinner theater and that presented extra complications for you to return. Is there some truth to that?
Well, there's a lot of truth to what you just said. We were taking our time. We were listening. We were paying attention to what was happening around us, not only with COVID, but with all that we've faced over the last year and a half, 2 years. And so we focused inward. We strengthened our board of directors. We've strengthened our company policies. And, you know, to be honest with you, in the beginning of the pandemic, it was like, okay, well, you know, Great Gardens closed the day we were supposed to open. And so everything was like, well, in 2 more weeks. Let's see what happens in 2 weeks. Then let's see what happens in a month. Then let's see what happens. And it gets so exhausting trying to figure out what you're going to do. So basically, we're moving forward slowly still. We're not just going to open with, you know, Fiddler on the Roof. We're putting our feet back into the waters. And so that's why we chose Songs for a New World. It's four singers. And the whole thing will be a little more minimal, 17 performances, just getting back into, you know, our new world, our new reality.
And yes, you did close with Great Gardens. I took a little responsibility for that because, Christopher, you may have known this, but I provided the audio or the voiceover work for Great Gardens. It was going to make me famous, and it never happened.
It was fabulous for the newsreel, the very opening of the show. The news reporter, you know, and the...
Yes!
We had a beautiful visuals behind it with news articles and pictures of Jacqueline Bouvier. And that was going to be a fabulous, or was a fabulous production. We can't bring that back.
And by the way, Fred, so
right away.
That was my question. Because of the nature of the production, or is it about rights and things like that?
I think it's because my thing is it's because it's too big of a show to bring back right away. We're opening an intimate space. We want to be safe for everyone that comes into the doors. And I think that Songs for a New World is more than a production. It's a service, in a way. It's breaking bread and breaking wine. I know I'm sounding a little less than that first opening song that you just played, which I wish we could come back with. There's no business like show business, because we all know so.
Right.
But I don't feel that for our intimacy and what our storefront imagery wants to be when we come back, we want to be more inclusive. We want to be safe. Our eyes are open. You know, and I've learned a lot from just listening to what's going on around me.
And we'll eventually get back to the big shows.
We'll eventually get back to the big shows. We're ending next summer. We're doing Godspell, you know, but we're building to Godspell. Anyway.
So I will have my day in Grey Gardens. That's what you're saying, Fred, isn't it?
You will have your day in Grey Gardens?
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm saying, one day.
I don't know. And, you know, plus, also, I mean, you were fabulous in Grey Gardens. And Harmony France was fabulous in Grey Gardens. But also there was artists, you know, conflicts. And it's no one really knows how to plan ahead, really, in a lot of ways. Right. Even to this day. Let's not fool ourselves. I mean, maybe I watch too much news, but... Man, I'm proceeding with loving caution, you know?
So, Christopher, let me come to you as the managing director as you enter this new day and with a very cautious and careful artistic director. Talk about your role and how you'll be working with Fred as you move on through this season and future seasons. I also heard him mention Fiddler on the Roof. I'm your Tevye, but we'll talk about that some other time. So, as you know that, Christopher.
I saw that. I saw you perform that at Torchlight. Yes.
Right.
I'm going to take you up
Christopher,
on that, but go ahead.
Christopher, talk about your role and how you guys are sort of interacting with each other to move ahead in these delicate times.
Well, in terms of interacting with each other, we're new best friends, and we spend most of the day on the phone talking to each other. And so far, we're both, I think I can speak for Fred and say so far, we're both really enjoying this new partnership. I have just the most respect for Fred, and I'm really honored to, you know, just be planning as much as we can forward and trying to think about, you know, what we can responsibly do as a theater company, you know, making the company more safe and inclusive, and, you know, just taking on board all the lessons that we've learned during this pandemic and making sure that we're not coming back the same as we were before, but we're coming back, you know, better than we were before. And but still, of course, giving audiences the same high quality, intimate productions that they have come to know and love at Theo. You know, I always say you haven't really seen a storefront musical until you've seen a show at Theo.
Well, I think that's true. And Fred, when I think over the years, from Chess to Sweeney Todd, and even the Full Monty, which I think was last season, maybe the season before, but these grand shows, how much is there ever a show, forget the pandemic right now, but you take on these big shows and you work with the intimate space. We craft a dinner that is connected to it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Fred, is there ever a show that you would look at and just go, that's just too big for us? It always seems to be, no matter how big the show, you find a way to make it work in the space.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I love to do. You know, the problem is like how many, like when you say that's too big for us, like how many performers could you cast? How many people can feel comfortable backstage? You know, it's still a relatively small space when you look at it, you know? And, the other factor is how much can you change? Do you have to, like, the legalities of, like, well, I'm going to, like, when you're young and non-equity and storefront back in the day, you know, you might take a little more liberty than you would today. You know, you can't, like, you can't, what's, you know, this character can't play that character. It might not be legal to do. So you have to check all those possibilities as well. Like, for example, Cabaret the musical. You know, so many people have done it. There's three versions of it. So many people have done it and, like, kind of put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Today, they're only licensing either one, two, or three. And if you want to do three, which I believe is a Studio 54 version, and you want to change something, you probably should contact the license holders and say, can we do this? You know? So things change. Things get more stricter in some ways. Yeah. Things get more confined in some ways. But in terms of what you're asking me, absolutely. I am trying to figure out how to do Fiddler on the Roof, you know? Or MAME. I love MAME. I love me some MAME, too, you know? Those big Broadway shows. Gypsy, all of them, you know?
And your band, I mean, you will. And the sound is just so great. So, and what I love about this, Christopher, by the way, is that I'll assume this will stay the same, but in the meal portion, and I know Fred could answer this, but Christopher, you probably can too. So what I've always loved about the meal portion is two things. Number one, many of the performers are your servers. So I love that piece. And they sort of have to say, wait, excuse me, I got to get backstage. We're about to start the show. And they're serving you. But then secondly, I've always loved the fact, at least in many of the shows, that the meals mirrored the show. So my memory is for Chess, I believe it was beef stroganoff, kind of a Russian dish. For Chess, for Sweeney Todd, I think it was meat pies. So, I mean, it's almost as though you're eating something that is tied to the theme of the show. Christopher, that has to be great fun for you to think ahead to that.
Yeah, we have a meeting next week with our food and beverage committee to start talking about, the possibilities for this first show and what we feel comfortable with. It might be a little more of a limited menu than we've had in the past, at least to start with. But that's definitely, you know, a signature part of the experience at Theo. And we're definitely committed to, you know, keeping that going, in some form or fashion.
And Christopher, let me stay with you. Let's talk a little bit about Songs for a New World. If people aren't familiar with it, it's essentially a song cycle from Jason Robert Brown, who I think, again, it was the last season of Red, Bridges of Madison County was one of his works. That was 2019. But Christopher, talk to me about the Songs for a New World. As Fred has described this, it's a great way to open up and get back with a smaller cast. I guess in my mind, I'm thinking this is sort of like doing one of almost a Sondheim review, only not Sondheim, but where it's just a few members of the cast, but they can walk through a lot of material.
That's exactly right. This was Jason Robert Brown's first musical in 1995. It's what put him on the map off Broadway. Inspired Hal Prince to hire him to write the score for Parade. And then, as we know, you know, his career took off from there. So the show just celebrated its 25th anniversary, and it's really remarkable. I think the show is one of those magical pieces of writing that sort of always speaks to the times, no matter what times we're in. And certainly, you know, it's never been more relevant than it is now coming out of the pandemic. And so I think it's really beautiful, even if people have seen the show before, to encounter this material again in a new way.
And Fred, a little bit of the plot. This isn't just a music review. There's a storyline here, right? Act one follows this particular single woman. Act two has a man. Dealing with some failure and stuff. I mean, there's a storyline that these songs fit into.
Well, I think that the piece is about transitioning from the old habits to the new world. Letting go of your old habits and seeing through different possibilities for yourself and for others and for us as a communal, group of humankind. I think there's a lot of beats in it. I think, you know, all of the characters seem to be facing a moment of decision, which they need to transition from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. And I think that there's beats, you know, the top of the show to the end of the reprise of the Songs for a New World, the title song, is obviously the first beat. But I think what connects everything together is everyone here, including the audience, is in a transitional state of moving forward into a new world. And I think that's true. That's why I said it was somewhat of a service concert rather than a performing. You know what I mean? And it's a communal experience is what it will be. Mm. You know, and I believe that that's what we're also going to go back to the food for the first show. You know, people have to understand that I feel like we need to build on the four shows that we're about to produce this year in 2022 as well. And
let's talk about what those four shows are. You mentioned the end of the season will be Godspell. Christopher, I'll come to, well, whoever wants to take it, but I'll go to Christopher. What will the four shows be? Knowing this could change, anything can happen in the world, but what's the plan?
Well, the third show is yet to be determined. So, maybe you have a pitch you want to make us, Paul. Maybe something a little smaller than Fiddler on the Roof just for this year. But the second show is a terrific musical review through the 70s called 8-Track. So it's the hits of the 70s. When you walk in the space, you're going to be transported like you just time traveled back, 50 years. And I think it's going to be really fun and an ideal night out during the holidays, whether it's a date night or a family gathering. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
And again, very intimate space. How many? I don't even recall. It only holds, what is it, about 100 people or so, Christopher? It's a small space, which is what I love.
Yeah, not even 70.
Which also makes it a little safer for opening up after pandemic, smaller numbers of people. That is good. Fred, are you thinking about the kinds of, will there be, I mean, I know Chicago is open, but, you know, concerns about mask wearing or who's vaccinated, those kind of things. You're taking all this very
all.
Seriously.
I think that Paramount just set the tone. You know, Christopher can go into all that, but it took me a while to get the confidence to get vaccinated. And I feel very proud that I did. And, you know, just July 19th was the 2 weeks after my second shot. So I'm all done, at least for this first go around. So I'll turn it over to Chris to give a little feel policy of where we feel about all that.
Yeah, Christopher, I think people will want to know.
Yeah, I think we're going to just ask that everybody who enters the building, at least for this first show, is fully vaccinated. And we'll have them, you know, show proof of that. Doesn't have to be the card itself. Could be a photocopy or a picture on your phone. You know, knowing not everyone's going to want to, like, maybe walk around all the time with it. But I think just because we're so intimate, it's, you know, it just feels like the clearest, safest choice to protect everybody who's in that room, whether you're an artist or an audience member. Just knowing that everyone in the room is vaccinated is going to be the way for us to go for this first show. And, you know, we're going to continue to pay attention to the science, and, you know, that may evolve over time, I'm sure, but that's where we're starting, at least.
And so it sounds, Christopher, just to be clear, because, you know, all sorts of people are listening to this who may be vaccinated or not. If you're not vaccinated, you cannot attend, or if you're not vaccinated, you just must wear a mask.
We're still in discussion about that with the board. Things are changing so rapidly. Knowing that we have 2 months before the first show, I think, and tickets aren't on sale quite yet, I think we're just going to proceed with an abundance of caution and maybe fine-tune some of the details a little closer to the first performance, knowing that things are going to change a lot in the next 2 months.
Yeah. Fred, as you've lived through this last 16 months, and as I said, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time, and I know it was quite a while before you were sort of prepared to say things. So I'm just sort of curious your view. What did things get bad enough during the 16 months you thought maybe theater will never come back, or did you always hold on to hope that this day that's coming will be here?
That's a really good question. I think I battled with both, you know. I know that theater will always be a part of the human condition. I know that people will always want to gather together in a communal form to experience a live performance, to experience a dinner, to experience a cocktail or a glass of wine. So I know that that will always be in our DNA. And theater will, I think, live forever. So, but like, will we have to close down? Did it get personal? Yes, you know, because money, you know, it's all about a lot of money, you know, and luckily we were fortunate enough to get a nice cover, grant money from the federal government. I believe it was $150,000, which is not a lot compared to what a lot of other people have got, you know, but it will help us get through the light at the end of this tunnel, you know.
And I have to say, for me, things turned around, you know, when all this started and not too long into it, Walter Stern shut down the Mercury Theater.
Right.
And rumored was selling the Mercury Theater. My heart just sank because I just thought,
right. This
is the end. And then, of course, many months later, you find out, no, Walter's reopening the Mercury Theater.
Right.
It was hope.
Fabulous.
It meant things were turning. Yeah. And Christopher, let me just, for folks who don't know, you know, a lot about your background, as I said, you did so much work with Porchlight Music Theater, another music company or theater company, which is so well known for taking huge shows like Gypsy and bringing them to a smaller stage, not as intimate as Theo, but a small stage. So talk about the skills that you have been exercising in other places and what you're bringing now to Fred and to Theo.
I think the thing I'm most excited about, Paul, is that I have experience in a lot of different areas of management and producing. Even before Porchlight, I worked for 5 years in development at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. So I have a strong fundraising background as well. So between that and the casting and producing work that I was able to do at Porchlight, as well as the 3 years I spent running my own storefront company, Refuge Theater Project, I feel like at Theo I have the opportunity to use all of those skills in one position for the betterment of, you know, all of the artists and audiences that come through our door. It's really exciting to be able to sort of combine all of those skills in one home.
And by the way, Fred, for folks who might be hearing about Theo Ubuque for the first time, in case they think it's named after somebody named Teddy Ubuque, you want to explain the beauty of this name, about the divine gift?
Yeah, sure. An old friend of mine, when we started this company years back, had we were talking about, you know, what would name the company, and I had just gotten out of some, you know, health issues and stuff like that. And I was getting back on my feet, and he said, Theo Ubuque is the name of his email. I said, what the heck does that mean? And he goes, Theo is, you know, a higher power. Some people might say God. I like to say a higher power. And Ubuque, ubiquitous within everything. So a higher power travels within everything around us. And so that's just kind of, I went with that. I thought that was beautiful.
And when I remember doing my own research about that, and I can't, and so maybe it's not quite off too far from what you were saying, but I always thought it translated to divine gift everywhere. Pretty close.
Yeah, I love that too. I think it's all in the same umbrella, you know what I mean? Just a matter of like how you want to put it, but a divine gift everywhere is absolutely right on par with what I was trying to say.
And that you have done. Christopher, by the way, every year you put on your annual Belters Fest. We did an interview about that for Howard Brown, where I donated, a lot of folks donated to that. Will that continue now that you have this work with Theo, or will you still be presenting and producing that?
Oh, absolutely. That is something I do regardless of where I'm working, as a way to give back to Howard Brown and showcase, you know, the incredible performers that Chicago has to offer, many of whom, of course, have appeared and will appear at Theo. Fred is also a big supporter of the concert. I know he watches and donates every year as well. So it's exciting to know that I have Theo's support as I continue to do that kind of community outreach. So Belting for Life is not going anywhere. Don't you worry. Oh.
Good to hear it. I know Fred supports that too. Well, absolutely. I am very thrilled, and I'm thrilled and happy to know that Theo Ubuque is going nowhere either. It's at 721 West Howard Street. Fred, so glad that those funds came through to keep everything afloat for a while, and you've made it. Folks can see the welcome back show, Songs for a New World, which is essentially a song cycle by Jason Robert Brown. If you like Bridges of Madison County, and who didn't, then you want to see this show. Even if you didn't see Bridges of Madison County, you want to see this show, with previews starting on September 24th and opening night on September 27th. And Fred, just to be clear, there'll be some kind of dinner, maybe modified, but we'll get to eat something as part of that
experience, absolutely. And like Chris said, we have, you know, we've been having previous meetings before Chris signed on,
And now that Chris is on, we're going to, you know, finalize everything we want to do. I think it's, like I said, I think it's going to build. I think it might be like a few side dishes and, you know, the first time, like hors d'oeuvre type things. Maybe not hors d'oeuvre is not the right word. But, and then the next show, we'll eventually get back to the three course completely. But
sounds like it's still going to be better than the it'll be better than the snack basket they give me on American Airlines.
Yeah, I feel like the first show should be very communal, and so, like, you know, and sharing, breaking of bread and wine, you know, and I don't even want to really, well, I won't say I don't want to charge people for food, because Chris will kill me, but let's just give everything away the first time out.
Well, and I have to say, and I think you guys will find this as well, you know, I went to the opening of Teatro Zanzani, and just as things are beginning to open up, I have to say, I found it to be, and maybe you've attended some things, it's a pretty emotional experience to just be getting back in that space for the first night. Sometimes the first time that, you know, they're taking the stage for the first time, Fred, it's just, it's a powerful experience. It's hard to put into words.
It is. I feel like it will be. And I feel like creating and presenting the music of Jason Robert Brown is a perfect selection of a musical evening, you know,
Agreed.
It'll take you there. Yeah,
and the perfect team will take us there. Fred Anzavino, the artistic director, Christopher Pasternak, the managing director of Theo Ubique Theater, 721 West Howard Street. Of course, if you're listening to this, you probably read the description on the website, on my website, but the website is theo-u.com, right? Theo-u.com. We'll get you to that. You can get tickets and check everything out. Songs for a New World starting September 24th. One of the greatest theaters, as I said, I haven't said this to anybody else I've interviewed. I have been wanting to talk to you guys and this theater company for a very long time, because when you guys are back, it means everything's okay with the world. Thanks for being with me. I wish you well. I look forward to I will see you at opening, I am sure, and look forward to a great season ahead. And one day we'll raise a glass and look back at the times that were and say, we've made it. Everything is okay now.
Sounds good to me, Paul. Thank you so much.
All right. Fred, Christopher, thank you so much. The Ubique Theater in Evanston. Check it out. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.